hey, Paul.
Hey, Dave.
What's going on?
Not much, man. I'm pretty hungover, celebrating my birthday yesterday.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, guess what? I have great news.
What's that?
Well, you know how we've been looking for a third host?
We have?
Oh, I have.
Oh, okay. Should I be worried?
No. Why would you be worried?
I don't know. Oh, a third host.
Yeah, not a new second host.
Oh, okay. I
have been looking for that as well.
I don't understand English.
But I haven't found that.
Okay, well, did we find a third host? I do remember now vividly that we were talking about that.
Yeah, guess who it is.
Is it Ruhi?
No.
Is it Rajay Davis?
No, apparently he's busy.
Doing what?
Scoring from third.
Is it Steve? Did we finally promote Steve?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
Mike Wilner?
Is it Mike Wilner?
I asked him. He said no.
Matt, who do you think it is?
Whew, I'm not really sure, but I was told that Dave was looking for a replacement host and not a third host.
This is getting me worried again.
Yeah, you should be. Happy birthday, Paul.
Thanks, buddy. Dave, why is Matt Cowell here?
Oh, well, he said we could record in his apartment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Also, he's the new third host.
What?
I am?
Matt Cowell, everyone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sunday Afternoon Baseball with Paul, Dave, and Matt.
Sorry, and producer Steve Buchan.
What are we calling the podcast now?
Sunday Afternoon Baseball?
Just that?
You don't have to tell everyone who's in your podcast in the title, right? I don't know why we did that in the first place.
It's a Sabcast.
It's on Twitter.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sabcast. Yeah.
Sabcat.
Sabcast.
Welcome to...
Welcome to Sadcat.
Can we call it Sadcat?
The saddest cats.
Yeah. You thought your cats are sad? Listen to this podcast.
Listen to these three sad cats.
Check out. It's three blind mice for a new generation.
Three depressed people from the jazz age.
Welcome to this screening of The Jazz Singer, starring Matt Cowell in blackface.
It's, yeah, pretty terrible.
I'd expect no less.
Okay. Well, apart from, well, the Jays are winning right now, which is great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, no problem.
It's great to be here.
We're happy to have you.
We look forward to some prolific nuggets in the weeks and months to come.
What does that mean?
You tell me.
Yeah.
I am sitting ever poised.
We just look in the dictionary.
Waiting for nuggets to fall out of me?
We go through the dictionary and imagine that Matt knows what these words mean.
And that he's wearing a trench coat full of chicken McNuggets.
You gotta imagine real hard to make that happen.
Yeah, you're our McNugget dealer. You give us black market chicken McNuggets that aren't good enough to be sold at McDonald's.
No, yeah.
And so cold.
The irregular McNuggets.
Yeah. And one side of your trench coat is McNuggets and the other's an array of dipping sauces.
That's an amazing trench coat.
It's pretty good.
I cover impressed. All your bases that
now
way.
You see why you're a host?
No. If anything, I'm much more confused.
Great.
But, so much to talk about this week.
Yeah. Building on last week's topic, the Jays are still terrible.
Update. Jays still terrible.
If possible, even worse than last week.
Yeah, because we got blown out a bunch. On my birthday, I sat up close in the comfort zone.
Oh!
And we got, yeah, that was, we lost 10-1 that day.
Oh, thank that's God you had a good game, comfort. Yeah.
I was comforted by the comfort of the comfort zone.
So that's good.
Yeah, going for
great. The game on Tuesday was good when Edwin hit a fifth decker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Two home runs that day? That was a great game.
If you just watch the wins, this is a lot easier to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to watch one game a week. It's like football.
Yeah. It's like Game of Thrones.
I think the key is
every
having
Sunday we win one game.
Yeah. The key is going to be having Mark DeRosa in the lineup.
Absolutely.
That's what's doing it for us, for sure.
See, watching the Jays from week to week is like Russian roulette, except there's six bullets and one not bullet.
It's the worst Groundhog Day reenactment If Groundhog Day was a tragedy.
Wait, how many bullet thing are normally in one of those guns?
No, oh, it's like a seven-chamber
gun. It's a seven-chamber, okay.
Well, I thought they, well, this week they had a
it's Russian roulette with six bullets and just that.
Yeah, depends on how many off days they have.
Every shot is something.
Do you know anyone who's ever played Russian roulette? Like, the regular way with the one bullet?
Like, for real? Whoa.
Yeah.
No, do you?
Yes.
Is it Mike Boyd?
It seems like it would be Mike Boyd. I beat Mike Boyd in an arm wrestle yesterday.
Oh, way to go.
Nice work.
I kicked the shit out of him.
Did you beat him in Russian roulette?
Yeah, he shot himself and I survived. So,
good
yeah.
birthday.
Yeah. Ooh, that's dark.
No, I do know someone who freely admits to having played Russian roulette in the Philippines when he was growing up.
Who is it? Is it Cheryl?
Yeah, it's Cheryl. No, it's this guy I used to work with. I don't really want to drop his name. I don't really think that's a positive memory for him.
Right.
But yeah, I used to work with him at LensCrafters, and growing up in the Philippines, I guess he was a bit of a thug, and he played some Russian roulette.
Or just a roulette enthusiast.
Yeah, just a thrill, a thrill seeker, if you will.
Just a fan of the Russians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just loves Russian culture and everything,
yeah, everything
comes out of
yeah.
it. Well, Tolstoy's good. How could this be bad?
He really liked those Russian dolls, too.
Yeah, he has to stop with his blanket statements about Russian culture.
Yeah, each time he opens one
Tolstoy's
up,
Tolstoy's good. Everything's good. Yeah.
Well, the thing about those Russian dolls is they get smaller and smaller and smaller, and in the middle there's a bullet.
Oh, you're right. That is a bullet in there.
Yeah,
the bullets in everything in Russia.
And that means the mafia is coming to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If there's a bullet in your dolls.
That's right.
This invented Russian culture we made up. It sounds cool.
Invented?
Well, it's based on reality. Let's write a thriller based on this Russian doll idea we just came up with.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Christmas morning, you wake up and every kid has one of those Russian dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could be like Sue Grafton.
One person in every house gets a bullet.
A is for Russian roulette.
Yeah. Signed, illiterate Sue Grafton.
With that weird looking A that they have.
Yeah, yeah, the Cyrillic A.
Yeah.
Cyrillic A.
Like an upside down question mark. I don't
that
know.
Those
like
strangers over there have.
Yeah, but I think I looked it up today, or I used my calculator, and we're on pace to lose 110 games.
That's awesome.
They were going over on the cast before. There's like two teams that are comparable that have ever like done well.
Oh yeah, who are those?
The 87 Tigers and the 89 Jays.
Oh,
87 Tigers won 98 games.
Mm-hmm.
So we're one of those teams.
Yeah.
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 Yep. We can do it.
We have some of the same players still, right?
What was that, 24 years ago?
Yeah.
There's got to be some kind of weird mathematical
formula 24
for years.
Yeah, numerology, right?
Well, what happened 24 years before 1989? Was
nothing.
That 1965?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mad guys, the 65 Jays?
Oh, they were killing.
Yes!
Sandy Koufax?
Yeah. Yeah.
That one just year he played on the Jays.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Blue Jays were
Mickey Mantle and Sandy Koufax?
Any blue team was the Blue Jays in the 60s. Okay, so the Jays are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, what happened with Jack Morris and Clay Buchholz this week?
Well, Jack Morris and I believe Dirk Hayhurst were commenting on that Clay Buchholz had a shiny substance on his non-throwing arm, and he kept on touching it between pitches, and they were claiming that he was cheating, that he was doing something to the ball to
doctoring the ball
to gain more movement on his pitches, and that's why he was doing so well this year.
That other dude, that Japanese reliever,
Tozawi,
he had some goop on his arm too.
Yeah, he did.
Like, yeah, they got some weird orange arms over there.
Yeah, they're just passing around their lucky white substance on the arm cream.
Are you just saying that just about Japanese people?
Yeah.
They got weird orange arms.
You know Clay Buchholz is from Texas, right?
I know that now.
I assumed he was Japanese.
Yeah, just because he has a Zen in his name.
Why do you think they call it doctoring the ball?
It's like
kind of a weird term for it, isn't it?
It's making it better.
Yeah, putting medicine on it.
Yeah. Putting a little penicillin in it.
The ball, my ball's sick. Help it, pitcher. Yeah.
It's probably from back in the days where you couldn't trust doctors because they're always trying to chop your arms off.
Yeah, I don't
know.
True.
I don't know what we're complaining about.
Kingslayer style.
Yeah.
Like, well, what are we even complaining about? Does R.A. Dickey or does he not throw his knuckleball with a nail file sticking out of it?
Yeah. Or a knife.
Just spinning with a nail file sticking.
Just as a warning.
Razor blade just...
Yeah, his hands are both covered in Vaseline, too. Like, dripping off both hands.
Yeah.
He doesn't use a glove.
You can tell by the way he slides on his hands up to the pitches.
Yeah, he has a huge vat of Vaseline right behind him while he pitches.
Yeah, you guys watch Striptease back in the day?
Yes.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds has a scene where he's covered in Vaseline and just walking around in cowboy boots.
That sounds like
that's great,
identity.
Dave.
Yeah, that's
exactly
what we're talking about.
Exactly what we're talking about.
That's what R.A. Dickey does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's from the South.
Yeah, he certainly is.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah, just like Burt Reynolds.
So how much would that actually help? Would that actually help you, though, if you just, like, put goop on the baseball?
Well, everyone used to do it back in the day.
Right.
Apparently, Hayhurst also said... 100% of pitchers are doing something to balls that they shouldn't be.
Well, you should know.
So
I remember seeing like old pictures of Walter Johnson. He used to keep one in his cheek.
Yeah, baseball.
Like he used to like lube one up in his cheek. He had a huge mouth, and it was like sticking out of his cheek like a wad of tobacco.
Yeah.
Before he pitched,
just be chewing on it. Yeah,
he'd chew it.
Yeah.
Detexturize it. You know.
Yeah, and he ate them like apples. Yeah.
If anyone asks any questions, he's like. Oh, my teeth. They're coming out.
Oh, well, another one of my teeth fell out.
Yeah, going through late childhood development.
Early, super old age.
I might be wrong, but that might be where the term tearing the cover off the ball came from, because that's how you used to eat the baseball.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Tearing into it like it's a delicious orange.
Yeah.
During the Depression, that's all people had to eat.
Yeah, baseballs.
Yeah.
All that was left.
That's why people love baseball in the Depression, right?
Yeah.
Because they could eat them as well. Yeah. Get all ball in the stands, free meal.
It kept a nation fed.
Yeah, that's why. That's the where foul balls originated from.
Yeah. Yeah, foul with a W.
Yeah.
Oh.
Chicken balls.
Yeah, they used to be chicken balls, they true.
And we've gone all the way back to Asia.
Whoa, good conversation.
Yeah.
Balls used to be made of turkey gizzards.
And when you hit them, they exploded into a million pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the batter wasn't out until the fielder collected all of
the chairs.
No, you
got to collect them all, yeah.
That was the dead ball there.
And put
a
it
lot
back
of
together.
Inside the Parker run that year.
You could work with the whole team. Like, this piece goes here, this piece goes here.
Yeah. It's more like a group of children racing to build a tower.
It was a much more beautiful game back then.
What's some facts that we can know about Michael
Lewis? Well, it's only one fact, really.
Okay.
Let's start off slow.
But what a fact.
Michael Morse is actually the inventor of the Morse code.
Wow.
Not the Morse code you're thinking of.
Oh.
Not that, like...
Because I'm thinking of...
Yeah, not that little blippy thing.
Yeah.
It's his code for picking up women.
Oh,
like a code of ethics.
Yeah, it's a code that he lives by.
Like the bro code.
For talking
not
to women,
ethics.
And it, every single one of his, the letters in his last name, Morse, stand for part of the code.
Oh, that's easy to remember for him.
So this is how Michael Morse picks women up.
Mm-hmm.
The first M of Morse is for make eye contact.
That's good.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
That's
good
everyone
advice.
Really, yeah. If you want to talk to a woman, you should probably look at her eyes, right?
Yeah, that shows confidence.
Yeah, that's probably why he does it.
Or the ability to not look at their boobs.
Yeah, that's true. That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what also shows confidence, though, is not looking them in the eyes and still thinking that you have the confidence.
Oh, don't worry. The Michael Morse code covers this.
Okay, I won't interrupt.
The O in Morse stands for over-explain your job. So just get right into it, cover the same bases 3 or 4 times, you know?
Right.
To a point where you see
that...
Yeah. If they look like they're getting bored, just start over again, you know?
He doesn't have one of those obscure jobs.
And then, okay, so he moves on to his next, the R.
How does that help him?
Oh, don't, you have to wait for everything to happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It all clicks together.
The R stands for re-explain your explanation of your job. So, once started over again.
Okay.
Yeah, you get into a weird little cycle in the middle, apparently.
So, I'm just, like, falling into the same trap as these women.
Okay, this, the S, actually, it's, we talked about the eye contact thing. He changes his, what he's looking at. The S stands for stare into their mouths. So, just a deep stare at the person's mouth. Go eye contact, explain your job, and then just stare into their mouth for a little while.
Yeah, hopefully with your mouth agape.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter what your mouth is doing at that point. Even still, open your mouth, close it every once in a while. And then, okay, so that's yes. There's only one more letter, and it's E. And this is how he finishes every picking up of a woman.
Yeah.
It's end every statement with another statement. So anytime you finish saying anything, just make another bold statement and, I guess, continue doing that until you're until on a date, I suppose. Yeah.
So let's do it. Let's
you do this with Steve?
I don't know. This is tough. One of you guys try it.
Okay, hold
here. You know what? Yeah. Okay. Dave, why don't you talk to Steve like he's a woman?
Okay.
Like you're trying to pick him up.
I should use the Morse code?
Yes, use the Morse code. Okay, so...
I start by looking him in the eye.
Make eye contact.
Should I use my job or Michael Morse's job?
Michael Morse's job.
Okay. I'm a baseball player. You know what baseball is? Don't tell me. It's a sport that they play on grassy fields.
This is good over-explanation.
But the good thing is people pay money to me for it. Because I'm like one of the best guys. I'm like one of the, like, probably the 200 best guys.
Keep explaining it.
I can see you don't get it.
Yeah. Really go over the top for explaining
it. Okay. So, do you know sports?
Just explain
to me. Your job is probably a serious job that helps people or something. My job doesn't help people.
And go into just what a job is.
You know,
really,
children.
You know?
Okay. I'm going to move on to R. The reason I'm doing this is I'm trying to explain to you what my job is.
Yes.
Just because I feel like that's a good way for us to get to know each other.
Explain the explanation.
That's why I'm talking to you about my job.
Okay, good job.
Thanks.
That was nice. Okay,
you got a pretty mouth.
Yes. And just stare into it. Yeah. Yeah, right into the mouth. Now move
Did you say something?
You've left me speechless.
Wait, don't let me finish.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say something. I thought you were gonna say something.
Keep going. More statements.
I want to be with you, mouth to mouth. I'm talking about a kiss.
Bolder statements. Bolder.
Maybe you and I should go back in my car. My car is a Rondo.
This is Kia Rondo.
Kia Rondo. And there, I think we can do it.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is have sex.
Yeah.
What I mean by that.
I'm seeing a few faults in this code now that it's impossible to stop.
It's not a code that works for everyone.
It does. Well, it doesn't work at all, actually.
Not even for Michael Morse.
No, he's very lonely.
That's
why he plays in Seattle. He's sad.
Do you have any stats on the success rate of that code?
Yeah.
Oh, zero.
Is it zero?
0%. Yeah. And that's Matt's stat.
Yeah. Yep. Brought to you by Kia. Have you rondoed today?
Kia.
So, yeah,
it's
that's my
eyelids.
Yeah.
You're an un-American. I think one of the things Matt, you were saying earlier, even though I just found out you were the host, that one of the stipulations is that we do a bio of you.
Oh, okay.
Which
yeah.
I delegated to Sean from Coffee Time. He's on the podcast.
That makes sense. Yeah.
He's here.
Oh, great.
I'm going to let him in.
Are you going to stay and listen to him?
No, I can't.
Where do you have to go?
I got to go throw up.
Right, because you're hungover.
Hungover, yeah. Oh, that all makes sense.
But on my way to doing that, I will go let Sean in.
Okay, great.
All right, perfect.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul.
Have fun barfing.
Good luck throwing up.
Oh.
You're going to feel so good after.
Yeah.
No luck needed, boys.
All skill.
All skill.
Oh, hey, Sean.
Hey, homos, what's going on?
Back so soon, man.
He always calls us.
What a jab.
You bunch of queers.
Sean.
Hey, Matthew Cowell.
Yeah, you know Matt, right?
Oh, my God, I've heard of him at least.
Okay, yeah.
I know a lot about him, as it turns out.
How come?
How do you?
Well, yeah. I've been doing some extensive research, and Paul had asked me to draft up, because I'm a writer, right? You guys remember that?
Yeah, I remember your
You do some
biography of Derek Jeter?
Yeah, I did the biography of Derek Jeter, so Paul was thinking maybe I could write up something for Matt.
Have you been published in anything?
Yeah, the Coffee Time newsletters.
Which you publish. Right?
Which I publish.
Yeah,
it's in it's
like
in there.
Like an index card with some scribbles on it.
Yeah, and then there's some menu items. It's I think we're.
So you just scribble on a menu?
I think we're getting on the internet soon, so
great.
You can all derive from that what you will.
Okay.
We have.
Okay. Yeah. So this is just a rough draft to kind of give people a little bit of an introduction into who is this Matt Cowell character exactly.
People want to know.
Okay, so I've titled it, and this is just the working title, Biography of Matthew Rudyard Cowell by Sean from Coffee Time.
What's my middle name?
We could talk about the middle name later.
Okay, yeah, it's not my name, but...
Okay, Matthew Rudyard Cowell.
Yeah, he's a great writer.
I pay homage to all the greats.
You know what you're talking about, yeah.
Okay, so it starts off... Matt fucking Cowell is this fucked up dude that lives with Dave, but not in a queer way or nothing. He was born, I think he told me once that he was born at a Sears. I think that's right. Anyway, the story as I remember it is that his parents were shopping for these sweaters, right? Then all of a sudden, holy fuck, Matt fucking Cowell is born right there at Sears. Bada boom. To my knowledge, Matt Cowell has never worked at a Coffee Time. But let me tell you something. I could be way fucking off about that. Matt Cowell has, hands down, the most brothers of anybody that I know. And I know several people. One person that isn't Matt Cowell's brother, but I thought, I bet he, though he wishes that, he, like, fuck that he was, is Derek Jeter.
Yeah, I guess.
Can you be cool? Can you fucking imagine if Derek Jeter was your fucking brother?
Yeah, I guess that'd make me American, I suppose.
I guess, and half black.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but then you'd be all like, hey, no big deal. I'm just going to a Chemical Brothers concert tonight, wearing with my brother, who is also Derek Jeter. Or
does Derek Jeter like the Chemical Brothers?
You probably get to go ahead and
well, he's my brother, and he likes me, I would assume. Or you.
Wait, which...
this
are
is
you,
an analogy
are,
where I frequently get
is
lost.
Is this about you? Yes.
Or then you could also be all fucking like, don't mean to show off, but I'm wearing my brother's hand-me-downs. Not sure if I mentioned it, but my brother is Derek fucking Jeter. And he outgrew all of his World Series rings. Also... Ba-da-boom!
He's got fat fingers.
That's right. As you, well, your fingers never stop growing.
In width.
Yeah. And length.
I guess, yeah.
By the time you're an old man, you've got 20-foot hands that drag on the ground.
I guess I haven't not seen that.
Well, you're not old yet, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. How do I know?
So, in addition to hosting Sunday Afternoon Baseball for what has now been the majority of an episode, you might also know him from Packer in Seville, who is this vaudeville act, right? Who that performs only at night in suits that are not coffee time uniforms, you know? Which I find unorthodox, but I guess that's why it's so fucking funny. You know what I mean? Let me tell you something,
that's
though.
That's where the joke is.
Yeah, let me tell you something, though. You guys fucking stole my this vaudeville idea from me. Okay?
Oh, it was yours?
Me and my other friend, Sean, who also works at Coffee Time, had this we had this vaudeville troupe called the Chemical Brothers.
And not a very vaudeville name.
Well, it's a working title. A lot of my projects are working titles.
Yeah.
But we've performed everywhere.
Is this Sean your actual brother?
Dude? Yeah, no, he's my brother.
Is it spelled the performed, same way?
No, it's spelled S-H-A.
S-H-A?
S-H-A.
Shaw.
Shaw.
Yeah.
Like Sha-na-na.
No, it's pronounced Sean.
Oh.
The W and the N are not there, but pronounced. It's like the opposite of silent letters.
Yeah. Okay, I guess if they have silent letters, that makes sense.
That's
it's
right.
Like the name Siobhan.
Yeah.
Spelled Siobhan.
Yeah, it's Irish.
Siobhan.
Gaelic.
Yeah, anyway,
there's any Siobhan in there at all.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
this
we...
This checks out.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, you got Siobhan.
So you had a vaudeville duo called the Chemical Brothers.
Yeah, and we performed everywhere, you know, you name it. The front of the Coffee Time, the back of the Coffee Time, every fucking where.
Sounds like it's only in the Coffee Time.
Well, but in all aspects of the Coffee Time.
Were they doing comedy or electronica music?
Yeah.
Do you guys want to hear some of the material?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, all right. So here's a small scene from the Chemical Brothers. Sean, me, I say...
Shouldn't it be some Chemical Brothers? Not the Chemical Brothers?
Yeah. There's got to be some copyright infringement on...
Well, Sean, me, okay, I say, my mother-in-law is in town. And then Sean, my friend, brother, says...
Is he your brother or your friend?
Well, Sean, my friend, brother, says, he goes, fuck, for real? And then Sean, me, I go, yeah, dog, I can't get no sleep neither. And then Sean goes, why the fuck? And then Sean, I go, she's always ODing on crystal meth. And then we do one of those queer little songs like, block, rock, and beats, get you back on your feet. Back with another block, rock, and beat, bada boom.
Yeah, that's a Chemical Brothers song.
In conclusion, Matt Cowell is a man of contrasting themes.
Oh, we were still going on? That was still part of my biography?
Yeah, it's your biography.
Oh, wow, thank you.
You're welcome,
Sean. It's, incredibly inaccurate, but I appreciate the effort you put into it.
Sometimes you need an outside eye to see what your life is really
Listen,
like.
Listen, when you work 48 hours
I was,
a day, you have to learn to multitask.
I was actually born in a Kmart and not a Sears, so.
Oh.
Well, I gotta go. The cops are coming to question me.
Oh, okay. Well, have a good chat with the cops.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for coming, Sean.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
Say hi to Sean.
He doesn't get out much.
Shaw.
Shaw. No.
Well, he's a nice guy.
Yeah. He likes you.
Hey,
hey
Paul.
Oh, hey, Paul.
How'd the barfing go?
The barfing went on schedule.
Great.
Oh, cool.
It's done.
How many heaves?
One.
Great.
One take Frank. That's
all
what they
one.
Call me.
Great. Great work. Oh, we were talking about the Jack Morris Clay Buchholz thing.
Oh, yeah, we were.
Mm-hmm. I did some more investigative reporting.
Perfect.
In which I listened to that broadcast again.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out Jack Morris said a lot of things about Clay Buchholz that night.
Oh, really? Oh, more than just the...
The spitball
accusing
accusations.
Him of, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Dr. Ball.
Yeah.
Accusations. This is some of the things that Jack Morris said. He said Clay Buchholz's name used to be Clay Buttholes.
I felt like that one was coming.
Yeah, that's why it's first.
Yeah.
But he changed it on the advice of his entertainment lawyers.
That's a good idea.
Clay Buchholz has no integrity.
I wouldn't know.
He's not proud of his Buttholes family.
That's too bad.
Yeah, Albert Pujols didn't change his name.
Mm-hmm.
Clay Buttholz, though, did.
What do you think Albert Pujols would change his name to?
Well, if it's anything like Buttholz to Buchholz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Puckholz?
Yeah.
Pukholz?
Pukholz.
Pukholz.
Pukin.
Pukholz.
Pukin.
Pukin.
Yeah.
Albert Pukin.
Yeah.
Great. That's... Steve, you have a new brother.
Yeah.
Through the power of entertainment lawyers. Here's another thing that Jack Morris said. He said Clay Buchholz doesn't have a mustache and therefore can't be trusted.
That's true.
Wow.
Which good made call. The fact that Dennis Eckersley was ragging on Jack Morris all the more ironic.
Yeah.
He thought he could trust everyone with mustaches.
So that really hurt Jack Morris.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, this is a downer. Another thing. You know how Clay Buchholz pitched a no-hitter in his second start in the bigs?
That's right.
Jack Morris heard that and he said, "Way to peak early, stupid." He calls it like he sees it, you know?
So he like, yeah, he feels like that's equivalent to being nostalgic for high school.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's like one of those high school quarterbacks who turns into
when did Jack Morris peak?
Used car dealership. I think 1991. He turns into a dealership? Yeah. So bad. Here's another thing he said. He went on the computer for a while, and then he said, "Here's two real facts from Wikipedia." He is genuinely married to one of those suitcase ladies from Deal or No Deal. Yeah. He also released his own charity wine called Chardon Clay. That guy's life is a farce.
You can't make that up.
Those now, are real facts.
Yeah.
That I
kind of see what Jack Morris is saying now.
You guys,
yeah.
Apartment, those are real.
What, really?
Yeah. I didn't make those up.
Chardon Clay?
He's, yeah. And John Lester has one called, like, something ends in ace.
No.
Yeah, no, it's real.
Come on.
And he really married someone, one of the models from Deal or No Deal.
I did hear that.
It's on Wikipedia.
I didn't know any of this.
I know. I was so happy when I saw that. Okay, the other thing that Jack Morris said, and right. This really made me think he's lost his rocker.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Clay Buchholz has a double H in his name," which is true. And he said, "That's just like hockey stick E double L, the reverse hell where up is down and down is up. I know what you're thinking. Isn't reverse hell just heaven? Nope. It's worse than normal hell. I'm Jack Morris." That was like in the 9th, I think. He was
kind of
getting tired.
Yeah. Reverse hell is worse than what? Which one?
Than normal hell.
Oh, I don't want to ever experience reverse hell.
Yeah. This is something Jack Morris thinks about a lot.
So he thinks of Clay Buchholz as someone who should be in reverse hell?
Yeah.
Wow, he does not like him. Yeah.
Like the 10th ring of hell.
Jesus.
That's just deep. Because he has two H's beside each other in his name.
Yeah, that's a really mean statement about somebody's name.
I know. But Jack Morris is a tough guy.
He is a tough guy.
So we're wrapping up this series with the Mariners.
Yeah, thank God.
Then the Jays go to Tampa Bay.
Where we always do super...
And they're going to Fenway for the first time.
Yeah.
This I enjoy is, watching the games at Fenway if I block out the score with my hand.
I feel like if I was nervous... Like, this is the most nervous road trip, just based on how everything's been going. I just think it's going to be dreadful.
Yeah, you'd say, like, oh, the things might fall apart now, but mm-hmm. we don't have to worry about that, because things already have.
Yeah.
So it's just going
to
be more...
So I guess, yeah, nothing really to lose.
Or it might be this year everything's different and we only do well in Tampa Bay.
Oh, maybe.
Opposite year?
Yeah, opposite year. You know what's a bright... shiny beacon on the horizon, though. The
what's
week
that?
After next week, we only play 5 games.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who are those against?
2 against the Giants and 3 against, I think, the Yankees. Again.
Oh, easy teams then.
Yeah.
Yeah. All teams just seem so hard now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we should end this podcast like we do every podcast for the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got chapter 3 of Buck Martinez's autobiography hot off the presses.
If you're worried that you haven't heard the first 2 chapters, don't.
There's no continuity.
It's just random memories. Buck Martinez.
I'm excited for this. Yes.
So we're going to play a tape of the interview we took.
Yeah, this one, this week's was ghostwritten by our own Steve Pookin.
That's right.
And
Steve, he did his best to organize Buck Martinez's ramblings into something coherent.
Yeah, it was hard. It was definitely hard.
But I don't know, I kind of heard a little bit of the audio before, and I think, Steve, you've done a great job.
All right.
Fire up the tape recorder.
Beep, boop, boop, boop.
Buck Martinez's autobiography, Chapter 3, The Birds and the Bees. Chapter 3, The Birds and the Bees. The day I met Pat Tabler was at the tender age of 74. On the first day of grade 3, at the Roger Clemens School for Etiquette Arts. Our linguistics teacher, Blobjob broadcaster, Jerry Hogwarts, had just taught us a lesson on the value of name pronunciation when he decided to teach us about the birds and the bees. He said, "Children, all types of birds are just fine, whether they blue jay, cardinal, Oreo, or Yankee. I like them equally. They're all just great." Just then, I noticed Pat Tabler, the new kid in school, looking in my direction. We locked eyes, and before we knew it, we were in a staring contest, only disrupted by his laughter when he noticed 3 chicken wings in my hair. We laughed and laughed and laughed. Mr. Hogwarts got mad because he thought we weren't taking his lesson seriously. Mr. Hogwarts said, "Mr. Martinez and Mr. Tabler, it is just fine that you enjoy your life as much as I do, but I'm trying to teach you something. Please laugh quieter if you must ridicule me. It's only polite." After another 20 minutes of laughter, I passed my note to my new friend Pat Tabler. It said, "Did teacher say your name was Tab Babbler?" He responded, "Just call me Pat Tabler, or just friend." That's when I set my hair on fire with a barbecue lighter I had been using to cook the chicken wings. Soon, the whole classroom was on fire, and everyone screamed and screamed and screamed, except for Mr. Hogwarts, who declared that everything was just fine. From that day forward, we became the worst of friends. Sent from my iPhone.
Beep, 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 beep.
Steve, turn the tape recorder back on. This chapter 3 of Buck Martinez's autobiography is brought to you by One-Eyed Cats.
One-Eyed Cats. They can see out of one of their eyes.
One-Eyed Cats. I feel like I have more eyes than that, but I forget, to be fair.
That's a hard thing to remember.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That was chapter 3.
Steve, turn the tape recorder back off.
Boop, 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 boop.
Every time he has to make that noise.
That's an amazing story of how they met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knew?
Wow, according to that, Buck Martinez has to be at least 90 now. I had no idea. He looks great for a 90-year-old man.
Yeah.
Well, depending on which chapter of the book you read, his age varies from 90 to almost 150.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, last week's chapter, he was born in
1903.
Yeah.
Oh, he's 110 right now? Okay.
Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah, he does.
Well, guys, does anyone have anything to add that they want the world to know?
I did want to talk one before we go.
Yeah.
Ricky Romero. You know, he came back to the Jays.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
I've got some advice for Ricky.
Oh, okay.
And great. It's actually advice his father gave him.
Oh,
when he was Mr. a young Romero. Man growing up in Venezuela.
I think he's from California.
Yeah, from no, but they took a
East
trip.
East they
were down in Venezuela on business.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was a business trip. That, you should have said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His father, Ricardo Romero Sr.
Yeah.
Said to Ricky as a young man, and I'll do my best Ricardo Romero impression.
Great. Perfect.
Ricky, one day you will be a baseball ace, and then your brain will break.
You can't change that. You must embrace it. You have a broken brain. So, hopefully he takes that into account.
His brain you are born with.
Yeah. His brain's broken. Yeah. His father said it would happen and it did.
Ricky, you don't listen to those boys.
Yeah. Your brain is fine now, but it'll be broken soon.
I'm going to greenlight this sitcom, The Romeros, for 26 more episodes. Yes.
That's all I had to say about it. Sorry. I didn't lie before when I said I really had nothing prepared.
Were you just panicking for like the last hour, just writing everything that came to your head?
Oh, that's great. Well, you guys, I'm Dave Barkley.
I'm Paul Frank.
And I'm Matthew, what's my middle name again?
Rudyard.
Rudyard Cowell, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm producer Steve Pookin.
We are joined by a baby.
Thank you to Felix.
And a baby's mama.
Thanks, later. Krista. Thank you, Sean, from Coffee Time.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Oh, he's back.
I'm leaving, though.
I thought you left.
And, thanks for joining us and having us in your apartment, Matt. This was a great episode.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Welcome on board.
It was fun, yeah.
Yeah.
To those of you at home, thanks for listening and go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourselves.
Why? Hmm. No, is that how you really end it?
Yeah, that's how.
Okay.
If you want to be part of this, you better
I understand
it.
Why the listenership is so low. Stop saying that to the people listening.
On that note, go fuck yourselves. Have a good day.
Yes.